From Washington, D.C., you are listening to Rule of Law Albania with Albi Cela.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the seventh episode of Rule of Law Albania. I am your host, Albi Cela, and today my guest speaker is Alice Elizabeth Taylor, who is a British journalist and activist currently working and living in Tirana, Albania. With Alice today, we will talk about the obstacles of being a journalist in Albania, but also about Alice's experience. Alice, welcome to Rule of Albania.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning, where you are, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. I'm in Washington, D.C., and you're in Tirana, too far.
Yes,
still too close with our principles and stuff.
Indeed.
So Alice, before we start, let's talk a little about you. How did Alice end up in Albania? I mean, you could have been a journalist everywhere.
Well, you know,
in England. I know you have an Albanian partner, and I know you have a beautiful little girl, and you could have lived everywhere in Europe or everywhere in the world, but you chose Albania. Why?
Well, you know, if I had sort of 100 lek for every time I'd been asked this question, I would probably quit being a journalist and be living a life of luxury. It's a really long story, but it's quite an interesting one, but I'll try and condense it as much as possible. I never really felt at home in England. You know, I never really found what it was I wanted to do. I studied law and then quickly realized I didn't want to become a lawyer, which obviously was a bit of a waste of time and money. So I moved to Malta and I lived there for 10 years, during which time I started working in a law firm, but in the marketing department. So I was responsible for writing articles on legal developments, legal analysis, all sorts of legal reporting. Things that involved an element of creativity, which I enjoyed, but also I could use my studies for. But after 8 years, I was sort of getting a bit tired of the sort of office life, the office routine. And in the meantime, I had been submitting articles under my own name to the local newspaper on topics to do with, well, initially law, and then it developed into sort of social issues, women's rights, immigration, corruption, rule of law, etc. And I'd been offered a column in the local newspaper because my articles were doing so well. And that was it, really. I quit my job and decided to start working as a writer and a journalist full time. And I worked incredibly hard and I haven't looked back since. I came to Albania by accident. I came initially for a 3-day holiday and that turned into 3 weeks through a series of very small coincidences. And it's nearly 3 years now. I fell in love with Albania and I still do have a huge amount of love for Albania. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. So they would have to quite literally deport me, which I believe is something we'll discuss a bit later on.
Yeah, that's not happening, definitely.
Yeah.
So do you think I'm still on time to change my profession? Should I quit law, according to you?
Do you know what? I think studying law and the sort of what you learn, the logic that you use, the processes that you follow when you're constructing a case and structuring legal arguments are very useful when it comes to doing the same in journalism as well. I mean, the principles of evidence and sourcing and witnesses, if you like, and then the way that you structure an article and even an investigation that you conduct is very similar. So if the whole law thing doesn't work out, you know, you can always fall back on journalism because you will have the soft and the professional skill set to help you.
No, I actually love my profession. And after all, we have you now in journalism, so we need a guy on this on the other side of the
So indeed.
Let's talk about journalism now. So Alice, I know Albania a lot. I've lived 24 years there. Mm-hmm. And I know how difficult it is to be not only a journalist, but any profession in Albania. But about journalism, why is it so difficult, according to you, to be a journalist in Albania?
Okay, so firstly, I come from a position of privilege, if you will. I'm British, you know, I don't have it perhaps quite as hard as some of the other journalists here, because I have sources of income outside Albania, you know, and I've been incredibly lucky to start working with Exit, who in 2.5 years have never once told me to write something or not to write something. You know, I've never been censored, I've never been influenced, I've had free rein pretty much to write what I want, as long as it's legal and ethical. I think many journalists here, they start out with the best intentions. They have the best intentions, they're good at what they do. But due to the overall sort of situation in the media environment here, they end up working for a company or a media platform which has an ulterior motive. The owner is most likely has probably never written an article in his life. They are often working in construction, have close political ties, and therefore that influences the editorial line of the paper. I know many journalists here who cannot write with their own names, are warned off certain stories. In fact, I often get sent stories and tips from journalists working in Albania because they know they're not allowed to cover the story. But they know that we will, because we don't have that sort of editorial issue, and I'm not afraid to write the stories that nobody else wants to touch. So it's this climate of self-censorship. It's the fact there's a lot of unprofessionalism when it comes to the sort of upper hierarchy of the big media companies. And I don't blame the journalists for self-censoring. They're worried that they will lose their jobs. They're earning a very low salary anyway. Quite often these media owners will hold salary hostage for a couple of months as well. So they have a lot at stake. At the end of the day, they have to feed themselves, their families, you know, they want to continue working. So I don't blame them. I blame the system that's created this situation. There is also a lack of professionalism, a lack of ethics. And again, quite often, I think this comes from a lack of experience and a lack of exposure to how things are done in Europe, in the US, rather than just a malicious sort of intent. I mean, when we consider after the fall of communism, you know, it's been 30 years of a more independent journalism in Albania. It's still very much
that's not enough, I think.
We need
more time.
Two generations. You compare to, for example, the UK, you know, it's been centuries. So I think it's in its infancy, but I think that there are nefarious actors which are taking advantage of this for their own personal gain. I mean, you see it all the time.
Yeah, that is true. But so you think the only bad guy here is the system? But do you think we have bad journalists? Or we have bad journalists because they turned from the system into bad journalists?
So I think if I had to sort of split it up, the main culprit is the system. And then the system is exploited by bad owners and sort of puppet masters, if you will. And then there are bad journalists as well, in a lesser amount, who are deliberately sort of acting in an unprofessional and unethical way. I'm hesitant to sort of attack my fellow colleagues, you know, I've seen that a large majority of them, if given the correct conditions, ongoing training, support, they want to be better. They want to be professional. They want to learn more. They want to adapt. They want to be free from the constraints which are placed upon them.
That is true. What you're saying is completely true. But let's face it. We have some journalists, some really famous ones. We're not going to mention names. I guess you know who I'm speaking about.
Yes.
But still, they have the platform and everything because they have the reputation and everything. And even their owners can't do anything to them if they speak up. But they still don't do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is a younger generation of fantastic journalists that I've become aware of and that I speak to and stuff, who are really, really dedicated. They want a change. They want a change in everything, politically, society, and journalism. And they work incredibly hard. But unfortunately, at the moment, the system doesn't facilitate them having the platform and the audience that they deserve. So I hope that changes before these bright young journalists decide to leave and go elsewhere.
Yeah, some of them are even my friends, and I know a lot of them. Again, I'm not going to mention their names or where they work, but they've been arrested a lot of times
Yes.
during protests and stuff. And they still keep doing their job. They don't mind being arrested and everything.
But then you have some who work on sort of fringe platforms, not mentioning any names, but platforms with just a, you know, a very small following. And I read their work and it's inspiring.
Yeah.
I think, God, I wish that, you know, the rest of the country had the opportunity to read your work, because this is what journalism is about.
What me and you can do and what other citizens can do is like share their work. That's how we can make them famous, let's say.
Yes, you have a large percentage of the population who just follow the main media, who sit in front of the TV at night and just digest what's shown to them. You know, they don't, they may not be friends with me on Facebook, they may not have access or the inclination to look further than what is served up to them every night, you know? Yeah. So I think this is something that will change with generations as well, as people stop watching so much television and start searching for their own news online.
Of course, I mean, at the end of the day, we can do what's in our hands, I mean, so that's the main thing to do. So,
it's true.
Alice, how do you think we can improve this, all this situation?
Okay.
Generally, we should come up with some points that we should work on to improve it.
Yes. I think the first thing, and I don't want to talk like I'm suggesting I know more than Albanian journalists, because I definitely don't. Like I said, there's lots of fantastic journalists here, but I mean, I intend on
working. You're considered Albanian now.
Okay, good. That's all right.
If you have been threatened by the government, you're considered
it's a rite of passage. They should definitely put it on the application form for the permit. I think I want to be a journalist here for the rest of my life, you know? So this being better concerns me as well. So I don't want people to think I'm sort of talking down to other journalists. I just want to get that out of the way. But I think the first thing that we can do is self-regulation.
Yeah.
Because we as journalists cannot change the system overnight, but we can improve how we work. So self-regulation can be done in a number of ways. We've set up, Exit is a founding member of the Albanian Alliance for Ethical Media, which has been set up by the Albanian Media Council. It's running a bit behind schedule because of the pandemic, but the signatories to this sort of code of ethics have all agreed to continually work harder to be more ethical, to be more legal, to be more professional in what they do.
And that's, sorry for interrupting you, but that's very important.
Yes.
What our prime minister says and what our official says is that, like, journalists cannot regulate themselves. Mm. That's what he's proclaiming. So they need the government on top of their heads.
Now, this is supported by the European Union and UNESCO as well, and the Council of Europe. So it has some big name support behind it.
And I guess the OSCE?
I don't think so. They weren't present.
Yeah, I know Albania is like, I know Roma is on top of the OSCE right now.
Yeah. You know,
but I guess still, Haarlem this year, like the High Representative for Freedom of Media, I think he's doing a good job. I don't know.
He has done a good job. I interviewed him a while ago and he was, he's left office now. He's no longer.
Oh, he left office? Okay.
Yeah, he was good. The guy had a lot on his plate over the last few years.
Yeah.
Albania is a speck on the map to him, you know, but we did appreciate his input, and I did enjoy interviewing him and his thoughts on the legislation that's set to be introduced. But yes, back to the self-regulation. So under the terms of this agreement, any complaint that's made about a media, it will be judged by the board, by the panel, which consists of a representative from each media. Now, all the signatories of this agreement are bound by their decisions. So if there is an unethical article with slanderous content and the board of this organization deems that it needs to be taken down, the particular media in question has to do so or they're expelled. That's basically the long and short of it. And I was really impressed to go there and see medias around a table that come from different sides of the political spectrum that don't like each other. I can speak for myself here as well. There were people on that table who've written slanderous things about me. But I sat down and I said, no, I'm happy to sign this agreement, because at the end of the day, we're all professionals.
Yeah.
And if you are sat here saying you want to be better, I respect that. Unfortunately, there was some media that didn't want to do that and were like, no, we're not sitting with them, we don't like them, etc. And I just thought, you know, this is such an important thing that we're doing. We should expect, you should respect the fact that people are saying, you know, we're not perfect, but we want to do better. So this is good, but I think journalists on a personal level can do a lot better as well. There is a wealth of information out there on sort of fact checking, accuracy checking, dealing with complaints. This is something that with your own initiative, if you want to be better, you can go and do yourself. Then in terms of tackling the bigger picture, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard, isn't it? Unfortunately, smaller independent medias are really struggling for funds. Coronavirus hasn't helped that either. You know, there's more competition for international grants. Advertising is very complex here because then you sort of have to toe a certain line. So it all comes down to money. The big media, which control the narrative, get more money. The smaller independent media are struggling. How this can change, I don't know. It remains to be seen. Exit's doing our bit, but it's a struggle for us to do.
Yeah.
What we've actually just completed, and we will have announced by the time this podcast is released, we are actually the first media in the Western Balkans, let alone Albania, to conduct an independent ethical and professionalism audit. Now, this was created by the Ethical Journalism Network, and it is basically a questionnaire we've done, where we've provided full information, full disclosure on our sources of revenue, our funding, the board of directors, who works here, our processes, editorial standards, I mean, you name it. And it will all be published online for everybody to see as an example of, you know, this is how things should be. We want to be transparent. We want to be ethical. And this is how we're going to do it. So we'll be the first media in the Western Balkans to do this. And this is something everyone can do. You don't have to spend a fortune to do these things.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's just the will of the media owners and the journalists. So I have two questions before we move on.
Yes.
So about self-regulation, how are things going with the anti-defamation package? I know it has been stopped because of the coronavirus and everything. And I guess you've read the report of the Venice Commission.
Yes.
Which is awesome, according to me. It still needs some points to be addressed, I think. Mm-hmm. But as a human rights activist, I always like to be more liberal.
Yes.
But still, it's good.
I mean, I sort of think that they might just try and forget about it because...
We shouldn't allow it. I mean, you shouldn't allow it. You journalists especially shouldn't allow it. Because, let's face it, human rights activists in Albania are not working too much lately.
What I mean is they might just never pass it, never sort of, you know, the Venice Commission reports come out. It was slammed. It's been slammed by every international and local organization worth their salt. I think the government maybe weren't really expecting the backlash. So I think one of two things will happen. One, nothing will happen ever. It won't be enforced. It will just be sort of pushed to the back of people's memories, etc. Or two, as we're getting closer to the election, the Socialist Party government will go, well, you know, we're such a good government. We've listened to what you said. We care what you think. So we've decided to X, Y, Z, cancel it or revoke it or change it. So they could potentially use it to empower, to boost their sort of standing as the elections approach.
Yeah, but did you as Exit, did you address this to the government? Like, did you make any points that you would like to be provided in the new law?
Yes, we have been involved. Well, I was actually refused entry to one of the consultations. We've been involved in terms...
I don't know why I expected that. I don't know why I expected that. I was asking you the question and be like, probably she wasn't allowed there.
It's almost like I've got some sort of cross on my forehead or something, some red dot on my forehead. We were involved with lobbying more than anything. So we were involved in lobbying with international organizations and groups. We were involved in working with the Albanian Media Council. And we were involved with working with other entities which were lobbying and making suggestions to the government. So it was something that we sort of eat, breathed, and lived for almost a year. You know, it was, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's really important that you keep the pressure.
Of course.
On the international organizations also.
Yeah.
Just keep in touch with the High Commissioner for Human Rights at the European Council, Dunja Mijatović, I don't know.
Yes.
So that they keep pressuring the government so that they don't forget the law, because we know how our government thinks. They just want to let it go. Because I'm sure they didn't like the comments by the Commission, even though our Prime Minister was like, okay, let's do this as soon as possible and stuff.
But you know what? I really wouldn't be surprised if a few months before the election they spin it round and say, "Hey, international community, we're so great. We love you so much. We listen to everything you say, and here's an example of it."
I don't think so. I mean, they did the same with three reports, I think, of the OSCE, mm-hmm. of Harlan Desir. Every time he came up with a new report, new suggestions, they were like, "Okay, we did it."
Yeah.
But they just were hiding stuff behind words.
Of course. Let's see what happens. But while we may not be writing about it every day, the pressure is still there behind the scenes in terms of sort of collaboration with external organizations and the general fight for media freedom here, highlighting what's going on here.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what about the education of young journalists in Albania? Because I like to talk a lot about education in Albania.
Yes.
We are doing a lot of reforms in Albania, and I have written about it a lot. We are changing the electoral code, we are changing the judiciary system, we changed basically everything every 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years. But we never work on the education system.
No.
And the perfect example is the judiciary reform. Like, we're getting rid of all these judges and prosecutors, mm-hmm. but still, they're going to be replaced by the same people, and I include myself.
Mm-hmm.
And before coming, like, I took everything from the education system, from what Albania could offer me. That's why I moved abroad to study.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, the same people with the same education will fill those positions.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with journalists. Like, we expect to have better journalists, ethical and everything, with integrity, professional. But let's face it, still every degree, like every area of studying in Albania lacks a lot.
This is true. This is something that concerns me for my daughter as well, you know. But I think you have to think, okay, as time progresses, a new generation of teachers will come in, of lecturers, so there could perhaps be some change there. Once the old guard sort of retire from their positions, there is hope for a younger generation of lecturers with sort of more developed ideas of media ethics, etc. But I think, it's a difficult one. The education system needs to change. There needs to be a consolidated effort to bring ethics, journalistic ethics, in line with European and international standards. But I think the barrier to this is perhaps language barrier as well, because the majority of information related to international ethics, to journalistic ethics, etc., is published in English.
Yeah.
There is very little in Albanian language. And I think this is a big barrier to students in Albania who maybe speak little English or are fluent in another language. It might be an issue for them to actually accessing it. So I think that needs to be considered as well. I mean, where do you start with the Albanian education system here? I mean, we saw from the student protests, the amount of issues that are present are astronomical. I mean, the whole system needs an overhaul, not just journalism. So I think this is something that maybe could only happen with a serious change of government, if that. I mean, I really don't know. But what journalists can do outside of their studies is to look for information online, to seek information online, to look at what international media is doing, to model themselves on international media. They can also maybe do trainings amongst themselves, to have speakers go into
trainings abroad. I mean, there are a lot of scholarships and stuff that offer trainings abroad.
Exactly.
That's what they should look for, like, because currently in Albania there's nothing else they can get.
There are lots of grants online that are available to fund training, to organize training, to do exchanges. You know, there is these resources available, but I think there's a mentality that still prevails, which is that Albania is cut off from the rest of the world.
Well, don't you think it would be possible, like, if we could do something in Albania, like pro bono offices do, because there are some pro bono offices in Albania, but they work with grants.
Yes.
And this would offer a bit more of independence also to journalists. If they find a grant, 10 or 20 young journalists come together, they establish this office and they're independent and they can work without any pressure. I think that would be great. And I don't know if actually exists this kind of...
Not in Albania, but outside.
I would suggest it to young journalists in Albania.
I mean, I would like to do some training. I'm doing ongoing training with the team in Exit on professional standards, ethics, internal policies, on managing sort of issues. Until I'm fluent in Albanian, it's not something I can really do on a larger scale, although I would do it for free, you know. But I think the COVID situation sort of put a spanner in lots of people's plans, because we had various plans in the pipeline to do sort of conferences and roundtables, discussing ethics, discussing self-regulation, and really encouraging youngsters to get involved in this. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, it's ruined a lot of people's plans. Maybe next year we can hope to do a bit more. But it's difficult. There's not one answer to your question. It's a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah, of course, I know. I'm just trying to offer...
Economics, the will of people, society's attitudes, the education system, politics. I mean, it's really vast. But I have hope.
But yeah, that's what I like about you. Like, you're really positive, and I really appreciate it. Unlike many Albanians in Albania, who would like to leave the country.
Yeah, the you have to. I want to spend the rest of my life here. I don't want to leave. I never want to move. I know people think I'm nuts, but honestly, that's what I feel. And therefore, it's in my best interests to help and try to build an environment which is conducive to my work, to my career.
Yeah. Alice, let's talk a little about Alice versus government, like David versus Goliath. That's how I like to call it. That's how I got to know you.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I heard about you the first time, actually.
Yes.
It was in late 2018, I guess, or mid-2018, I'm not sure.
It was end of February 2018. Now, I've joked a lot about this, so I've written articles about it, I've made fun of it, but actually
I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, she's probably an Albanian with a British passport or something. I don't know, she married a British guy and stuff. And I started looking into it and I was like, oh, hell, she's actually British and now our government is going after her. I mean, the agency, which is instructed by the government, of course. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, the Albania is going after a foreign citizen? Really? It didn't sound appropriate to me.
I mean, this situation, like I said, I joked about it publicly. I went on TV and I made fun of the government for coming up with such a stupid idea. But in reality, I mean, I was 6 months pregnant. I was at a very high risk pregnancy. I was at risk of losing my daughter from 3 months onwards. So to go through that, I mean, it was, and it still is, it makes me very upset. But a way of me dealing with it was by poking fun at what they were trying to do. But the reality was, it scared me. It scared me. And it scared me for my daughter, for my health. I was scared to go out of my house, even now, to write about it, to talk about it.
I mean, also about the career, because if you get deported, a journalist that gets deported, everyone is skeptical in the beginning until they learn how that happened.
And I mean, I look at my daughter now and I think, you know, these people put your life in risk, you know, because that's what they did. They knew I was pregnant and they knew what they were doing and they knew the consequences of it. Like, it's really, like I said, a joke about it, but it still hurts me, you know. Credibility wise, do you know what? Eventually it's worked in my favor. There are still some people who may be put off or who maybe do think that I'm a Russian spy, but they're very few and far between, and they're not the sorts of people I would want any sort of professional relationship with anyway. Those that understand the case and have become aware of it, recognize more the issues that happen in Albania, and it's actually it's helped me in a way, and it's really made me fight for media freedom more than I did before. I always have, because my colleague was murdered in Malta. She was a journalist, Daphne Caruana Galizia.
The one that is talked all over Europe? And it's,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We worked at the same newspaper.
I think that case is still unsolved.
Ongoing, yeah. And that was the government. That was government involvement as well.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always been passionate, and I still am. But this really propelled me, because I thought, I know stuff like this happens to Albanians, but if they've got the guts to go after a foreigner, a pregnant foreigner, then I have a responsibility to stand up against this. Because if I stop, if I show that I'm scared, if I stop writing, people are going to look at that. They're going to look at my reaction, and it might discourage people. But if I fight it, if I make a joke out of it, if I fight it and I make sure I win, maybe it will give some hope to other people who might be suffering pressure and intimidation in their work as well. Yeah, I felt I had a responsibility, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know if you can give me, like, I don't know if I can ask you, like, what was the reasoning behind of, like, rejecting your application? Because I know how that works. I've worked
in
that area. Like, I know.
They didn't actually give me a proper reason. So,
and it's either you have committed a crime in Albania, or you didn't pay taxes and blah, 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 and stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess you did everything.
Yeah. So they'd actually approved it.
What's the reasoning?
So they'd actually approved it. We had a stamp from the Director of Immigration, and they told me to come pick it up in 2 weeks. And then the next phone call I got was that it had been revoked. For 3 weeks, they refused to give me the document with the written reason on. Now, this was really upsetting, because in the meantime, they were talking to the media about the case, but then refusing to give...
Okay, so the first thing they did is that they refused the right to access information. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a human right violation, number one.
They then leaked personal information about me to the media.
Another human right violation.
Mm-hmm. They then gave me the answer, and it said that I'd been late in starting the application for renewal.
Were you late? Because it's 2 months prior.
No, it was...
verifiable.
Yeah, so I'd actually started... There was about 1 or 2 days in it, and I was in hospital at the time. I had basically thought I was having a miscarriage, and I was in hospital, and I had notified them of this, and he said it was absolutely no problem and to concentrate on my health. So this was the issue. We went to court several times. Eventually, when I got to the final court case, in about 5 minutes, the judge decided that there was absolutely no basis for me not to be issued the passport, and that I had acted in line with law 100%. It took a rule of 5 minutes looking through all the evidence. I mean, I had doctor's notes, my admission certificates from the hospital, copies of screenshots and communications with the police directorate. They didn't have a leg to stand on. You know, it was complete nonsense. And the fact that they'd approved it and then gone back on it, I mean, it was very clear what was going on.
Yeah, it made them look bad at the end of the day. But I'm glad that the justice system worked for you.
Yeah, me too.
That's a great case. That's a great, like...
Example. It's a good precedent.
Great example, yeah.
I don't think they were expecting me to take the Ministry of the Interior, the Border Police and the State Police to court. I don't think they were really... I think they were expecting me to go, all right, how much is this going to cost to sort out, or to, you know... get scared, run away. I don't think they were expecting me to take it all the way that I did.
Did you address human rights violations or just
yeah,
your...
We did in the case. I was supported, I mean, we turned
I'm really interested in human rights, because in Albania, no one cares about human rights. And
we
I want
did.
People to address human rights as much as possible, because they always forget.
Yes, we did, and the Helsinki Committee were there as well. They supported me throughout, so they were monitoring the case in terms of human rights violations as well. Also, I have taken to court several of the people who wrote slanderous things about me, seeking damages for various violations, including human rights violations, inciting violence against me, invasion of my privacy, dissemination of personal information, etc. So I've taken various people who I'm not going to mention to court about this. And I've pledged to any money that I get, I will use to create a fund for journalists who need financial assistance for legal matters.
And please, please do take the money.
Oh,
from everyone,
no, I will.
From the government.
Yeah, I will, but I don't want it. You know, I want to use it for something good. Oh, for someone else who finds themselves in a situation like I did, or under any pressure, but doesn't have the financial capacity to fight.
We don't deserve you. Seriously, you're refusing money? Like,
yeah, I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. But there we go. That's it. I think it's because my reason for taking them to court is not justification for myself. You know, it's not that I have something, I want to gain something from this.
It's also the cause, I understand.
Yeah, it's the principle of the matter. And it's the impact that me giving up, as I said before, might have on other journalists, which concerns me. It's the principle of the matter. I want to make them sweat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's great. Like, you're a great example for other young Albanian journalists. And Alice, I really thank you for accepting my offer. It's been 35 minutes. It's been a great conversation.
Yes.
Smooth one. And let's see if we can make other episodes. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I'm sure the listeners will enjoy it as well, because I know they love you. So thank
I hope
you.
So. I was feeling a bit pressured after some of the episodes.
No, sure. Thank you so much.
Great. Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.